Hello and welcome to the World of Nier. I am Jay, your DM. If this is your first time listening, this is a serial show. So if you're not really familiar with what's going on, feel free to go back a few episodes and catch up a little bit, especially if you like it. If you are not a new listener, if you are a regular listener, please consider checking out our Patreon. It is patreon.com/worldofnier. You can find some cool behind the scenes stuff on there, as well as ways you can contribute and help the show as we continue to grow and continue to cover hosting costs and website costs and all that fun stuff. So please consider that. Again, it's patreon.com/worldofnier if you are a fan of the show. And if you have any questions or you have any comments or fan art or anything you want to share with us, reach out to us. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're all over. We are at World of Nier, so you can find us on all your social media there, or you can also email us worldofnier@gmail.com. Without further ado, enjoy the story. Hello, everyone. This is Jay, your DM. Welcome to Nier. This is episode 60. Keeping it fresh, keeping it clean. This week, we have an amazing cast joining us. A lot of special guests. We're going to start off with...
Hi, I'm Amy, playing Bijou, the High Elf Glamour Bard.
Hi, my name's Andrew. I'm playing Ree Vitevich Kolosevsky, the Paladin Hill Dwarf.
My name's Phil. I'm playing Harry, the Fearbog Druid.
Okay, I'm Aaron. I play Tatsuo, the Human Samurai.
All right, so this week we are picking up where we left off. You guys were spending the night at the Rusty Spike, kind of waiting for the rest of the Seventh Sons. So far you have Quilly with you, you have Perrin with you, what's her face, the dwarf. Has been hanging out there the whole time. Gotta pull up her name. And so you're kind of just waiting for everyone else to make their way in, since all the Seven Sons have been assembled. Anything you guys want to do before, while you're waiting, or any conversations you want to have, or anything you want to check out?
I'd like to ask Quilly if anyone has been able to get in contact yet with the Moonlake Elves.
She says, oh, that's a great question. I was just actually doing some reconnaissance on this with my spies. Turns out, as far as we can tell, they are still holed up in their tower. No one's been able to get in. There seems to be some sort of magical barrier around it that the halflings haven't been able to break through. But we have not been able to receive any word or send any word back. So as far as we know, the elves are still holed up and safe, but we've not had any confirmation yet.
Thank you.
Any news from Softail?
Well, as you probably know, there are certain hills in Softail that have fallen under control. I believe it's only 2 out of 5, though. I think it's pretty... Most of the, especially the capital where your brother lives, they've been able to hold off most of the invasion, since there's really only one entryway to it.
Any word from my brother?
Oh, yes,
my
he's...
My brother.
Your brother.
My brother.
He's been leading the capital there and trying his best to keep the siege from destroying the country and... You know, but they are able to sneak some parties out now and again through some of their tunnel networks that the halflings have not discovered yet.
Are you thinking of having him join us? You gonna go grab him? We're waiting on people.
Is he here? Or is he still back at Soft Hill? Or is he on his way?
He should be on his way. We did send out a message to everyone to assemble the Seven Sons here. So, as far as I know, I haven't heard anything like that. He isn't coming. So I'm assuming he'll be here.
Question. I can't remember. Did we hand off the little badges? The little, like, beep, beep, badges to anybody else besides our party and a couple folks? Like, who all has those?
Well, shouldn't they all, the Seven Sons?
All the Seven Sons.
All the Seven Sons.
Yeah.
And Dirk.
Okay.
I don't know. We didn't RP Perrin getting one, but, like, if we want to just kind of say you guys handed one off, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you go, Perrin.
Tatsu turns to Dirk and asks, do you have a rope I could borrow / have?
A rope? I can check me shed. There might be something back there.
That would be nice. It's just a hassle to go into town. What with us being hunted and all that.
I don't recall seeing a rope, but perhaps if I don't have one lying around, I can get Grog to pick one up.
Okay, that sounds fair.
Did you have a specific length you were looking for?
Standard.
Looking for.
Standard. Well, you know, there's a lot of different uses for a rope. I guess, what do you think, like 6 feet long?
A little longer than that.
7 feet. All right, I'll tell
Grog.
No,
how about like 20?
20 feet. Okay, I'll tell Grog. 20 feet of rope.
I mean, a 6 foot rope is silly because then you could tie it and then you're down like 2 feet depending on what you're tying it to.
Well, you see, we don't use a whole lot of rope here at the, except for when we're, I guess, putting on additions and, but this doesn't have to be very long because it's not a very big tavern.
Okay.
At least it didn't used to be. I guess we're kind of growing now. We're getting bigger.
20 feet would be just great.
20 feet. All right. I'll tell Grog.
Grog. Grog. Grog.
Greg.
Greg. That's his full name. Greg Grog.
Greg Grog.
Yeah.
Greg Grog.
We actually call him by his last name. His name is Greg Grog Krug Gruck.
Oh, I thought I could have sworn Gruck was short for Gruckery.
Oh. I like that.
That's what we call him for his nickname. We call Grickery, him Gruckery.
Only when he's in serious trouble. Gruckery? Yeah,
Greg Gruckery.
So an accident on the floor now. Again.
He's actually been pretty good about that lately. No serious accidents. And we did teach him how to use a mop, so he does clean up after himself if there is a problem.
Well done.
Well done, Gruck.
Gruck.
Thanks, Gruck.
Gruck.
See you later, Gruck. 20 feet, Gruck.
20 feet, Gruck.
Yep.
And he walks out the door.
I like Gruck.
Dirk runs after him and says, Gruck, wait, I didn't give you any money. You can't take the rope for free. And you see Dirk kind of chase him down with his hand, his purse waving in the air.
Hope Gruck's not hungry.
Anything else you guys are thinking about or want to do?
Not at the moment.
All right. Well, you do have Byung-ho arrives kind of early afternoon while Gruck is out on his shopping trip. And he pops up through the... I don't believe you guys told Byung-ho about the trees, right? He can't travel by himself. I think the halfling girl is the only one who can travel by herself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Byung-ho comes in. He gives a little secret knock at the door. And another one of Dirk's cousins, who's a little bit more on the half-orc side than the full-orc side, opens the door and lets him in. And he kind of greets everyone, gives a little bow, and says, oh, it's nice to see all of you again. It's been quite a while. I heard that you found the last son.
Yes, we did. We went to Rootdale and retrieved Perrin. Is Perrin in the room?
He's sleeping in a little bit.
It was a bit of a journey, so he's still sleeping, but you'll meet him soon enough.
Very well. Well, do we have any ideas about our next plan of attack?
Let's wait till everyone gets here. I think it's something that the seven of you need to...
Let them work it out.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah.
Just hear Jay talk to himself.
Prophecy says that, you know, the seven of you, you got this. We're just here for emotional support.
Is Quilly here?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, she is.
Is she... I'm going to go talk to her and maybe see how she's doing. I haven't seen her in a while either. And you see a little, like, kind of flower sticking out of his pocket. He's like, nervously.
Oh, that's cute. Well, Biju's going to say, she has already come down and chatted a little bit earlier today, so I'm sure she's up.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to go talk to her and good luck down here, I guess.
I'm going to wave my hand, like, discreetly, like, when he goes, like, past me over the flower to make it smell extra strong, like, extra fragrant.
Okay. Cool. A couple hours later, you hear another secret knock at the door. And in comes Jaron. And are you guys hanging out kind of in the lobby area, I guess? Like the,
I'm actually, I'm going for a walk. It's late afternoon, right?
Yeah.
I don't like being pent up indoors. You can continue. I'm going for a walk for the time being.
Tatsu is going to go too.
Are you, okay.
Just where are you walking? Just on like, I don't know. Where do you want to go, Harry? You're choosing.
I am going to do disguise self as a very tall halfling. I don't know what I want to mix it with.
A horse?
I guess a centaur.
A centaur halfling.
Okay.
Actually, make it a goat because it's a halfling.
Are centaurs, are they in this world?
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't you guys run into one?
Yeah, we did.
I don't. Did we?
Yeah.
I think with disguise self, it has to have the same like limb setup as
this,
you.
This is kind of crazy. That would be actually. Yeah, that would be too much.
Oh, okay.
I'll just be a human.
Well, it could still be like a goat, and then you'd be like a
like a fawn.
Like a fawn.
Tatsuo has her outfit that she bought. What is that fancy town called?
Iron glass.
Yes, that she bought there. It's pretty normal looking compared to like
walking around with a freaky fawn.
Or Tatsuo. And then yeah, so she'll do that. And then still have her cloak, I guess, to hide her bald head. and her sneaky boots just in case.
Okay. Cool. So you guys are just going for a stroll?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So Jaron comes in. He kind of knocks at the... Does a secret knock. He gets let in. And he sees Biju and Reeve waiting in the tavern. He says, "Oh, my brother."
Brother. And I over and give him a good like slap, like a hearty slap on the chest plate. Is he wearing... He's wearing armor, right?
Yeah, he's okay. He goes,
"Oh," and then I go in for a big hug and squeeze him really good, like just squeeze him.
I'm just kidding. I'm fine. Wasn't that a good joke?
Oh, it was great. Oh,
I've been hanging around with Admas more. He is wonderful at this type of humor. Speaking of, and Admas comes in kind of right after him, and comes right up and punches Reeve right in the face.
I I look at him like really angrily.
That's a hit.
Oh, it hit. How much damage?
Oh, you take 5 bludgeoning damage.
Okay. I look. Is my nose bleeding at all? Like any?
Roll a Constitution check.
Oh, okay.
Jiran is cracking up. He's like hunched over, laughing so hard.
Okay, I rolled like a 19. No, 20. All right. 20.
You can keep you.
I do that, and I look really angrily, and at him, and then I kind of smile and I go ho 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 ho, and I reach around and just like slap him across the head.
He's a. What happened to your beard, little man?
Does a 18 hit?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, but he's wearing a helmet.
Oh, okay.
So you take 2 more bludgeoning
damage. All right. I just kind of shake my hand off, and I'm go, "Oh, it's good to see you too."
What happened to your face there, little man?
My smile goes away, and I just say, "I don't want to talk about it." And then I kind of look away, look down in shame.
I got to get back into the accent. Crikey. All right. I really like that haircut there. How'd you got a barber here in Prime that does that?
Oh.
Can I go and say, give me the Reeve?
Not exactly, but I mean, I could help you out if you would like.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I'll pull out
definitely
my...
Won't.
I'll pull out my...
What do you call it? With it's nice and short up in the front, so you can get down to business, and then you got a real party going on in the back.
Yeah, it's just called the Vitevich, you know? It's a new style around here. Here, I'll help you. And I take my axe, and I start, I pull his head back, and I start shaving his little thing right here.
Roll a dexterity check.
Okay. Dexterity. 21.
You could just use a torch.
I don't have one.
Oh.
I don't want a searing smite. I don't want a branding smite this guy.
Come on, man. I'm not talking about the chin. I don't want to lose this beauty. I'm talking about the haircut.
Oh, right. Well, is he missing any hairs here, or did I already shave it off a little bit?
He probably would have. Well, let's see. Let's have him roll a little. Yeah, you got a little notch.
Okay. Oh, and that's easy. And I just kind of sheared off with the sharp part of my axe.
Oh, this is good fun. Oh. What about you, Jiran? You want one of these Javakeyeviches? What did you call it?
Vitevich.
That's what I said. Jiran's like, no, I don't think that would be a good look for me.
All right, well, let me know if you like it later. It might warm on you.
Oh, all right.
This really cheered me up because I just thought I was ugly, but now having the approval of another dwarf really just got me. It lifted my spirits.
Tatsuo and Harry, what are you guys doing?
Just kind of wandering about the outskirts of town, just kind of taking mental note of how many halflings I actually see. But I really don't like the vampires, and I don't trust them. And I don't want to happen to walk by them because I forgot to mention them, and you just had me wander over there.
You see a lot of halflings. In fact, you actually walk down the street, and you notice that there's kind of like a bunch of people in line. And like the kind of traffic on the street has stopped. And there's all these people in line on the pathway right in front of you.
I'd like to stop the fourth or maybe fifth person in line. What do they look like?
It's a dirty, dirty dwarf.
Yeah, I'd like to ask that dwarf, hey there, fella. What are you in line for?
What did you call me? Did you call me a dwarf?
No, I said, hey there, fella.
Oh, okay. Hey, the back of the line's back there, man. You gotta go to the back of the line. We've all been waiting here for a while.
What are you waiting for?
Paper checks.
Oh, that's right. Okay, let me go ahead and hop in line. I'm going to walk away.
The back of the line is way back there. All right. See you, man.
Yeah. I want nothing to do with that. I don't have my paperwork.
No. Yeah, no one has paperwork. Is there like an alleyway so maybe we could like get on the roof instead to just avoid being seen, like a quiet alley where we could climb?
Yeah, there's lots of alleys.
Okay, so we is that what
if it's not dark out though, it's if it's daylight they're gonna see you climbing up there.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so we'll just
I'm fine with walking.
Yeah, walk in the opposite direction of that paper check.
All right, you're walking around. Is there anything specific you guys are looking for or trying to do?
Just looking at the halflings, just seeing how many there are, kind of like taking notes of like what their weapons look like, that kind of thing.
There's a lot. You see at least two on every block. Like they seem to be working in pairs as guards, but then you also notice from time to time there will be like a group of them kind of marching throughout, and maybe they're like relieving other guards or something like that, but there's a very heavy presence in the town of them.
Okay. So I guess we just do that until it gets like dusky time, dark time.
Okay. Let's go back to the tavern. We have Roman comes down from her room. And at the same time, from the porch, kind of on the outside, we have Belbricks coming in from the tree.
Great.
And they kind of actually come into the tavern at the same exact time. And they give each other like a once over, eyes up and down. And they, both of them look at Bijou and say, "Do you know this person? What's going on?"
Oh, yes. Belbricks, meet Roman. You are both seven sons.
They kind of give each other another eye up and down and nod. And Belbricks looks a little bit more wary. But Roman mm-hmm. just kind of gives her a once over. And then she turns and goes and pours herself a tankard of ale from behind the bar.
I'm gonna whisper to Belbricks, "You're gonna love Roman. She's super cool. She's a hunter, fighter. She raises bats. She's really cool. We got to travel with her for a while. I think you'll like her."
Oh, that sounds really well. I actually did leave my dog at home. I figured I could always go back and pop over and get him if I needed. But yeah. I like anyone who works with animals, as you probably guessed.
Yeah, you should. Well, come on over. So I'm going to walk Belbricks over to Roman, and I'm going to say to Roman, Belbricks was just asking me about your experience with animals and training bats. Do you want to talk to her about that?
Roman kind of gives you a glare and says, "Speaking of bats, whatever happened to Stinky, Winky, Blinky, and Nod?
Blitzen?
They died valiantly in the jaws of a bullet."
All four of them?
No, one got away.
which one got away? Was it
the derpy one? I don't remember.
Is that Nod?
Blinky?
Because he had eyes like this. That's right.
He was my favorite one.
What happened to the last bat?
I don't either. I don't remember.
I remember left him at Byung Ho's
village. Yeah, like he came with us for a little bit. Oh. And then.
Yeah, I think Byung Ho would know where your fourth bat is.
I did see him walking around the hallways upstairs. I'll have to touch base with him.
Yeah, maybe just give him a little time. He'll be down soon, I'm sure.
So Belbrix turns to Roma and says, "That's really cool with bats. I mostly just have my dog, and then, well, Mr. Harry gave me a tiger. That's been fun. But it eats a lot. It eats a lot of food, and it's a little bit hard to keep up with sometimes. But
she's a big girl.
You're not there.
I know. I'm just saying. This is a good tiger.
For the record.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, cool. So you guys see, actually, Quilly comes downstairs. She looks a little bit... It's kind of hard to tell, like, expressions from the wood elves as much. They kind of have very strong poker faces. But she comes down and surveys the tavern and says, Is Harry here?
He stepped out for some fresh air. I'm sure he'll be back at his leisure, as usual.
Okay. If you see the human coming around asking about me, I am going to go and trance, so please don't tell him where I am.
Did they have
your
a thing?
Your secret is safe with me.
Thank you. And she kind of goes off to the porch area where the tree is. Mm.
That's my spot.
And then Perrin and Byung-ho come downstairs, and they're just chatting up a storm. They seem to be getting off real well. Perrin's like, "Yeah, I somehow escaped the flames. I don't know. Like I've never really. That's the first time I've seen a dragon." And Byung-ho's like, "Wow, yeah, I just saw one for the first time recently too. What was it, like a white one?" "No, it was red. It was really big, dude. It was so big." I'm like, "Oh wow, that's really cool." And they're kind of like chatting it up. And Bijou or Reeve, is there anyone you guys want to talk to here now that kind of everyone's starting to assemble?
I mean, I kind of just want to speak to everybody at once, really. I don't know if there's really a...
Like, wait till everyone kind of comes back, I guess?
Yeah, I just feel like there's nothing really for me to say to anybody individually.
Okay.
I mean, unless you all can right. think of anything to beat you.
Yeah, so once all seven of them are here, I'm going to try to discreetly... kind of go to the porch mm-hmm. without Byung-ho noticing, just to ask Quilly, "Hey, are you ready? I think everyone's..."
Sorry, I was... I thought I told you I was trancing out here.
I know, but all six of the others are ready.
Okay. All right. She comes in after straightening out her outfit and making sure her hair looks good. Mm-hmm. Did Harry come yet? Is he still out?
Out.
He's still out, but he'll be in at some point. Okay. But
I thought that was a I'm so sorry. I thought that was a general question.
But I think we'll go ahead and get started. So I'm gonna kind of like get everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the seven sons are now united, and now the next thing should be the easy part. Time to save the world.
At this point, Dirk has come back, and he's kind of going around, like, bothering people. Like, "You sure you don't want to drink? Can I get you some food, or at least what?" And, like, yeah, mm-hmm. circling around while you're talking.
Yeah. So I think everyone should first introduce yourselves and give us a brief rundown of the resistance efforts in your area, and then what needs you have and what ideas you have for getting this gray army out of our business. So, Jaron, would you like to start?
Jaron stands up, and you hear a voice from the group saying, "Come on, man, stand on a chair. No one can see you." And he kind of nods and stands up on the chair.
Can I identify who was saying that?
Oh, it was definitely Abmus.
All right, kick him in the shin.
Oh, he was wearing shin guards, so
he broken your toe.
You take one bludgeoning damage.
Okay. Hold on, let me
bludgeoning your toe.
Jiran stands up and says, "Greetings, everyone. My name is, for those who don't know, my name is Jiran Kolosevsky. I'm Reeve's brother. Or I guess I should say Reeve is my brother, and because, you know, I'm the oldest, so that makes me more important. I lead Soft Hill. Mostly I lead the capital city, the Capitol Hill, but I have some dealings with the country as a whole as well. And lately I've been working with my country to try and stave off the halfling invasion, and been working on and off with Bijou and their spies to get some more intel and spread information as much as we can. But it's been a little bit difficult to get in and out of the country. It was a hi, Jiran. Then Admis, not to be outdone, stands up. "Good day, everyone. Admis Redgrip here, from the better half of the dwarves in the north. And just found out recently that I am, in fact, a seventh son. And I am, in fact, descendant of the gods." And he kind of pauses for dramatic effect. But no one really is that impressed because they're all also seven sons.
Yeah, and like under my breath, I'm like, but what old descent? Never mind.
Well, anyway, so I'm from the north, as I said. My uncle runs the country there. And since I found out, I've been working hard with him to, but they're actually quite fortified, quite protected. Not a lot of issues with the siege there, unlike our southern brethren, if you know what I mean. So I've been helping out with down in the south, leading some attack squads to kind of make attacks on the siege when possible and get away before anyone can touch us. It's been great, but it's very hot down here. I'd like to take one moment to mention this beautiful hairstyle, courtesy of the Kalaskafizis, and it's very wonderful in the summer months. Keeps the neck nice and cool, keeps the sunburn away, but not too hot, not too much sweat dripping down from the forehead. So if anyone wants, I can definitely help out with the Koloskafev haircut.
Looking great, Admis.
Thank you.
Oh my God. I like Reeves just shaking his head between rubbing his toe.
All right. Bellbrix.
Bellbrix stands up and she says, "Hello, everyone. I'm Bellbrix. Also just recently found out that I'm a seventh, I guess a son, a seventh son. It feels weird saying I'm a son. I don't know. But let's see. I really like animals. I like to paint.
So cute.
I'm not really good at surfing, but I've tried a few times. It's kind of a big thing where I'm from, but I prefer to watch, not participate as much.
And, hey, Bellbrix, how has your country been? Have you seen any of the enemy armies at your island or country?
I think you guys probably know, we've been pretty tough on outsiders for a while now.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think we were pretty much set up for not having a lot of issues here. We did have a couple boats try and come over, but we already knew about all the clouds and everything from you guys, and so we were able to protect ourselves pretty well.
Okay. Roman?
Roman stands up. I'm Roman from the gnomes. We're not doing so hot down there. And she sits down.
Could you elaborate?
Yeah, we got hit by the second wave of the rain pretty hard. And then we didn't have as much to fortify as some of these other countries that are not segregated to a specific part of the world and not allowed to leave and trade. So we didn't have as much protection and gear, and the country is definitely overrun with the halflings now. Last I heard, our royalty was in hiding. Maybe I heard that they got on a boat, but I think it's pretty much taken over by the halflings.
So I think our first priority would be to rescue who's left and get them to a safe place. Potentially, maybe since it's been so safe, they could live with Belbrix's people.
Belbrix kind of nods and says, yeah, that sounds cool to us if they're cool folks. You know, we don't want not cool folks coming, but cool folks are cool.
Seems legit.
Yeah, sounds like a good acceptance plan.
All right, Byung-ho.
Byung-ho stands up and says, "Hello, everyone. My name is Byung-ho Kane. I'm from Eastwood. I don't know. We also were able to avoid the yellow rain thanks to our friends here who told us about it. My people were already very small, but we were in a very secluded area in almost a tundra. So we actually have not had very many run-ins with the halflings yet. But we are having issues with food and demons where we are, as I think you all already knew about.
Hmm. Yes.
And then Perrin stands up. He says, "Hey, I'm Perrin. Just met Byung-ho. He's a pretty cool dude. I also just found out that I'm one of you guys, which is pretty cool. I've spent the last 6 years in Rootdale." Everyone at the table kind of like gasps. "Yeah, I was in the Dragon Army. We landed on the island and not very many of us survived, you know, but me and a group of friends, we were able to kind of find some shelter and forage and hunt and mostly stay out of the way of the dragons and all their weird dragon offspring things. I don't know. But that's where I've been for a while. So honestly, this whole yellow rain thing and the halflings, like, I kind of had to get caught up to speed on all this. I didn't even know it was happening, but definitely down to help and down to party, you know. Like, I want to save Nyer, and I want to help out any way I can."
Right. That leaves Quilly.
Quilly kind of stands up and says, "Yes, I'm Quilly from the Wood Elves. I believe I met most of you. Except for Perrin. It's very nice to finally meet you." Well, no, we did meet, I guess. Take back everything I just said. I've helped Bijou with providing some spies and rangers to find out information and spread it. I've also been helping our country in the Westwood to arm the tree houses a little bit better. We've been able to fend off most of the halflings, but they are trying to siege us. but we know the woods way better than them, so we have an advantage. But there always seems to be a presence, especially as soon as you leave the woods. I would like to recommend, Bijou and I were talking earlier about the wiser elves at Moonlake, in the Moonlake Tower. And I have had many dealings with them in my time, and my leaders and my elders have dealt with them very closely. I think if there's anyone who has an idea for what the next steps would be or how we can interpret the prophecy anymore, it would probably be them. So if there's any way we can maybe assemble some sort of army from everyone here, from your respective countries, maybe we can go and try and liberate Moonlake, and talk to and have more access to the history and knowledge there.
Yeah, I think that's a good start. I do.
Jaron speaks up and says, "I can definitely provide soldiers and from Soft Hill. Obviously not our entire army, because we are working on defending, but I can provide some small amount of forces." And Admas says, "Definitely, if we can wait a little bit for the dwarves from the north to come down, we can definitely help out there, unless anyone has a faster way to get all the way down here from the north. It's quite a journey." Belbrick says, "Yeah, I'm sure that we can get some of our folks to help out as well." And Quillius, of course, says, and definitely we can get wood elves to help. So looks like we maybe have a semi-sizable force that we can assemble.
I would like to make two recommendations in addition to the main effort of liberating Moonlake. I do think it is essential that Byung-ho's people get food, and Roman's people are rescued from the desert and brought to a safe place. And I think if we could send supplies from one of the more well-off, I think, Admis, you were talking about how well everyone is doing. Would you have any food to spare for Byung-ho's people?
Oh, definitely. We can transfer some food down to Eastwood. That shouldn't be a problem at all. I'll talk to my uncle.
And as it would probably be a stealth mission, Queely, maybe could you and I get together and maybe get some of our sneakier spies to try to do a recovery mission in the desert to find the rest of the gnomes that are still alive?
Yes, I can definitely get some of my crew, my more agile crew, on that. Maybe some of your spies as well can help out, and we can make a little strike force.
Yeah. I'll need a few of my spies to go with me to Moonlake, but you can have the rest. And maybe Roman can direct you.
Okay. Sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Well, where would be a good place to assemble all of these armies without being detected? It'd have to be far away from a main city, I think.
Quilly speaks up and says, "Do you think that maybe Harry could help us transfer people back and forth?"
He probably would when he comes back. We can definitely raise that question. But as far as like where we stage the forces so that they're not detected by the other army.
Well, we could always, I know that this is one of his bases through the trees. Mm-hmm. If he has a tree set up in Moonlake, that would be a great kind of surprise attack, because I don't think they're aware of the tree network.
Mm-hmm.
So we could shuttle people right through.
We can't fit... Oh, I see what you're saying.
Is it too meta to say that there's like 10 trees in the Moon Lake Forest?
I mean...
I'm just saying like we're covered.
I mean, you can come back from... Like, you can come back from your walk whenever you're ready.
We'll see. It's a lot of people in a small place and...
Yeah.
So then maybe we can start here and then go off, or perhaps even if we are able to assemble once, if let me get some information on touring and on the gnome country and see if it's very populated with the halflings, if our strike force may not be big enough. Because if we need more people, we can all just assemble there. And then once we liberate it, we can travel to Moon Lake, potentially.
That would be fine. I think the idea with touring was that Roman said there are not very many gnomes left. And so... If we liberate it, who would hold it?
That's true.
So I think if we go first to Moon Lake, which is where the bulk of the army is needed for that action, then when we're done, then we can go to Touring, potentially. But I don't want to delay trying to rescue people.
Very well. So I'll get on that first, and then... Perhaps we can reassemble here once we are able to save any survivors that we can.
Yeah.
How are we doing on supplies, like for the soldiers and stuff? Like, what's the weapon situation looking like? The armor, weapon situation, food for just our group right now.
Well, Admus speaks up and says, "Well, I've got my trusty weapons right here." And everyone kind of nods and says, "Yeah, we have all of our own." And Admus and Geron kind of look at each other and say, "Well, our armies are armed. That's why we call them armies. Armed armies."
Oh, I thought it was because they had like little armies coming out their sleeveys.
Aw. This guy's got four armies.
Where do you think they keep their hidden weapons? Up their sleeveys.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I would worry, Jaren speaks up, he said, I would be concerned to some degree if we were going to use this as a base, just thinking about food and I realize we have quite a few beds and lodging here, but having armies is a lot of mouths to feed, so... That might be something we need to add some funds to, maybe to help with Dirk feeding everyone who comes through here.
All right. Well, I can give 35,000 gold pieces to that cause if needed.
John spits out his drink. He was drinking it. Where are you getting this kind of money? Are you back to your criminal ways again, brother?
No, not at all. We found a dragon and it was hoarding gold, and I saw the money and I mean, a wave of temptation swept over me, but I resisted and I have it here and I'm ready to donate it to a good cause.
Dragons, huh? Sure.
If you don't believe me, you ask Harry. He has it.
Why don't you zone of truth this place and prove it?
Whoa.
I don't have that spell currently learned.
How do you not have your trademark spell?
I replaced it with something to help you guys out.
Oh, pulling the guilty card here.
I also have another question with regard to supplies. Do any of you have... experienced clerics in your in your towns. I was thinking if we have a tree at Moon Lake and there are people who are severely injured, we could always rush them back here to the Rusty Spike, and it could be sort of like a hospital since we have all these beds.
Duran speaks up and says, I've actually trained in clerisy before I took over from my father, so I can help out and bring some of my network of clerics from Softail.
That'd be wonderful. And you could just have one of them posted at the tree, one or two that know how to travel through it, who can sort of open the door for people to get through to the hospital.
Very good. Very well. Belbrix comes up and kind of pulls at the sleeve of Bijou. Says, if you guys are kind of wrapping up, can I talk to you outside for a second?
Sure. I mean, let's take a break. Let's take like maybe take a 5-10 minute. Maybe Harry will come back to give us some answers. Who knows? Yeah. So once everybody kind of gets up and stretches and stuff, I'll go into like a back room with Belbrix.
All right.
What's up?
She actually leads you out to the like the patio out. Side. It's a very nice night out here. And you see the sun's going down and the full moon is shining in the sky.
Can I have my foot still in the door?
Mm-hmm.
Because this feels weird to me.
Yeah.
And this feels not good to me. So I'm actually going to be like kind of what I do when I'm teaching in my classroom, to where I basically have the door still kind of open and my back is right on like that dividing line between inside and outside.
Mm-hmm.
So where she's outside and can speak confidentially, but I'm still seen by people in the room.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, as we're walking to the door, I'm just gonna, can I do like a private message that's just intended for one person?
It would go to all of everyone with the.
It would go to all matches. Of them.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna get Reeve's attention just so that he sees where I'm going.
Okay.
So just nod to Reeve, and once I get eye contact, like I'm right out here, and then he can see my shoulder in the doorway.
Okay.
I nod, looking, watching her out of the corner of my eye.
Belbrick's gonna just like. Sorry, I'm just not used to being around that many people kind of looking at me and putting that much pressure on me. It's kind of just like to get out and get some fresh air once in a while. Listen, you're really cool and confident, and I just feel really out of place here. And I just wanted to know if you had any, like, anything that I can do that would help me. I'm really nervous around all these people, and you just seem so confident and cool, and I want to be more like you.
Oh.
Okay, well.
You all hear from your buttons, your tree buttons, a little bloop, bloop. And then Harry's voice comes through.
hello? Hello?
That's two words.
Oh, I forgot we had words.
Yeah, eight more.
Oh, reminded me of this. Let me hold on.
You've got two second. More words.
Eight left. More.
This is probably Harry's first time using it, so he may not even really realize is. There's 10 word limit.
Yeah, like
is it 10 words per day?
Yeah,
it's three use. Times a day.
Three times you can use it three times a day. Okay, that's right.
Stay indoors. Bar the doors.
Oh. I'm going to yank Belbrix inside and lock the door. And I'm going to see if Dirk is doing anything. And
I grab a chair and I prop it up against the... Sorry.
No, go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to wedge it against the doors. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to call out to anybody in my vicinity to grab a door, grab a chair and wedge it in the door. Don't let these doors open.
Dirk was already kind of like not hammering in on a window like a plywood board. He's like, how many doors do you think we have? We got way more chairs than doors.
I'm going to send a couple people down to the cellar.
Yeah.
Because I know that that's a vulnerable place of entry.
Did Gruck come
as I've exploited
back?
It.
Rumor has it.
Yeah. Oh, is Gruck back?
Oh, yeah. Right when Dirk started hammering out that one door, Gruck bursts it open, pushes it aside, says, Gruck got rope. And he brings in a rope that has like a like it's really, really long, like it's wrapped around him and like all it's probably like 200 feet of rope. And at the end of it there's like a door that was tied to a rope. Like it looks like it was just ripped off from its door frame. He's like, Gruck, find rope, and he's dragging it in.
Over the little button, I'm going to say, where are you? Are you safe? Weather or armies? Or clouds or armies?
I won't respond.
Okay. Dang, I hate that all seven of them are here, and if this look, place goes down.
I'm trying to help you. Stay indoors.
Oh, no.
All right.
All right. And we're going to end this episode here, and we'll talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Later.
Hopefully not the last time I say bye.
What was that big beep?
Fire alarm. I'll be back.
Have fun editing that.
Wow. Well, it's only on his end.
Oh, yeah.
Jay, I thought I was getting poisoned again.
Well, I thought she was going to, like, start, like hitting on you and asking you, like, romantic
no,
stuff.
She's, like, really, really young.
I mean,
she's really
young. What equivalent is she to, like, human?
Wasn't she like 14?
Oh, basically? That young? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, she's a kid.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I thought I was getting like shanked with a poison knife or something like that.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Ah!